Right.
That's it. Welcome, I quit.
Everybody. You know, I grabbed the wrong one. But that's okay. It's still good. It's still good.
All right.
The music's cool. Good. Welcome to an episode of The Cemetery Files with Kelly Schaefer and myself, Jay Hill. And we've got a few people from the K2 Paranormal Research Group that decided to join us this evening. We're just going to do a kind of a round table, just chit chat, and we're going to talk about different things. So anybody that wants to chime in, go right ahead. Start it off. Don't everybody talk.
This is what's known as dead air. Yeah. Dead air. Well, today is Gina's anniversary of yesterday was the anniversary of her ghost hunting. She became a ghost hunter a year ago yesterday. And then today is the anniversary of her being put on the injured reserve list.
Oh. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
First ghost hunt.
Mm-hmm. So you lasted a year. All right.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, well, yeah. That was horrible having you on the injured reserve list.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It was like, terrible. How can we get Gina on something? How can we get Gina on an investigation?
We kept trying. Wouldn't let me do anything.
Nope.
Mm-mm. Told me I had to stay in lockdown.
Yep. Right. We even had where you're going to watch. We're going to watch the cable, the cameras, and everything. So
right. He said, "Nope, right. Nope. Too much. Right. Too many possibilities of getting hurt more."
Yeah.
That's like sucks. Ghost hunting. Like ghost hunting's a dangerous occupation.
Right.
No. Right. Walking around in the dark and abandoned places. No, it's not dangerous at all.
No, not at all.
No. So speaking of hurt foot.
Yeah.
Miss Vicki Norris sprung her foot Friday night at the Lynchburg Funeral Home. Something pushed her down the steps.
Oh.
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully she doesn't have the same problems you had.
No, goodness.
Well, it kind of brings out, I mean, yeah, it kind of brings out how dangerous ghost hunting really is.
Yes, it really is.
I was looking at when we were at the Randolph, went down there with Shane Feek, and he's looking at the tiles, and he goes, "I wonder if those are asbestos tiles." And I'm like, yeah, they probably are.
Probably.
Right. And Shane would think.
I thought that too, just seeing the tiles, because I know what asbestos tiles look like. But it's like, okay, we go into haunted locations and we're breathing in asbestos. Mm-hmm. You know?
That's,
Right. Right. A lot of people don't realize that these old buildings are just that old, and they just, you know, I'm sure that the owners who purchased it, you know, should have known early on if there was asbestos or something. I think, don't they have to disclose that if it's an old building that they have to?
The only thing I know of is if a building was built before 1978, it needs an lead paint disclosure. Asbestos, I think, is on some kind of a disclosure, but I don't know what it is. And then there's some that when they're inspected and they find asbestos tiles, they make you take out all of the asbestos, which could be disastrous to the location.
Right.
Because
the cost it could be just as dangerous. Yeah. I mean, it just sucks. But
you got that. If you go into a place that's not very well managed, you have the chance of going in and running into somebody that is living there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And is still alive.
Yep.
So why don't you guys talk about what it was like at Randolph?
Randolph was, well, it was just me. Gina and Stevie didn't get to go. They were off doing something else. So it was just me and Shane. And there's not much to tell. It was dead. The only thing that happened at Randolph that is significant was when Shane was doing he was using some equipment that he's developing and getting perfected. And he asked me to have one of my guides touch one of his sensors. And first of all, I'm like, one, I've never asked any of my guides to do anything for me. aside from playing a game with him at one point. I had an idea who my guides were, but I wasn't really completely sure. So it was going to be, oh, this will be interesting. Let's see what happens. And I contacted my guides. I think both of them were there, but I honestly, I think maybe only one of them was there. My grandfather, John Edwin Sharp. And I asked him, I said, go touch the north sensor. And I specifically said the direction for the sensor, because you could have said the first sensor, the second sensor, the third sensor, the fourth sensor. And that's real. That kind of makes it a little bit, you know, suspicious as to, you know, the sensor getting touched. But when you say touch the north sensor, that's a little bit more specific and a little bit, yeah. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And turns out that I'm standing there waiting for it to happen. And Shane goes, they're touching the north sensor. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God, they actually did it. And then I said, awesome. touch the east sensor. And he touched the east sensor. But he kept his hand on the sensor and he kept playing with it. And what the message was to me was, okay, what is this? And that's when I had Shane explain the equipment to him. And I never met my great grandfather, but every time they're around either him or his wife, Anna Sarah, they're just so happy all the time. Right. It's so cool. Right. Yeah. You get this nice, warm, happy feeling all over you. Yeah.
What investigation were both of you, Stevie and Gina, on together with Kelly?
What was our last
one? Oh, we've been on a few of them together. Old South Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Oh, Old South Pittsburgh, yeah. Which was another dead location. We didn't we got stuff. Tell them what we got in the very beginning.
Anywhere we went from down. Feelings to smells, everything, voices.
Yeah. And then down that one hallway, Kim and I both seen it at the same time, that shadow figure coming out of that doctor's office.
Yeah.
Okay.
It showed up on the wall.
Oh, nice.
So Kim and I seen it both at the same time. I turned around, Kim turned around, and we both seen it at the same time.
Wow.
Really, after that first trip downstairs, initial trip that we did through the downstairs, it really kind of died for us because there was too much traffic.
Yeah.
It was too much cross-contamination and everything. But now I did get, and still can't explain, so it wasn't anybody living, the cold breath of air blown in my
head. I remember that one. That was interesting. Yeah.
So
I got touched down the downstairs, but that was early on. Yeah. That was early on.
Yeah. Yeah. But other than that, I mean, got a couple of shadows, but could have really been anything because there was so many people.
Yeah, and the so many people leads into what I had discovered during the investigation is that all of these sweep boxes and phone apps and all that kind of stuff, most of them have a database filled with words that'll make a ghost hunter cream their jeans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So at that very moment, I went, no more. We're not having any more phone apps. We're not having any more sweep boxes. We're not going to do any of that. We're just going to do the old-fashioned EVP sessions where you ask a question, you wait for them to answer, and then you listen back to see if you got an answer. And then after working with Shane at Randolph, I will allow Stevie's sweep box into an investigation, and I will allow the SB7 and the SB11, but all the other ones, nope, not going to allow them in.
I'm not even a fan. I'm not a fan of the SB11. I just am not a fan of that one. The SB7 is a thin line too. I mean, yeah. I've gotten stuff from it. You know, I mean, I've used it several times. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? In different locations, and I've gotten some responses for it. But for the most part, I mean, EVP burst sessions are probably the best. If you've got video.
We were doing that up at Randolph, and it was nice. I really enjoyed it. Y'all feel free to jump in anytime, because I'll control the mic.
Yeah.
Oh, Kelly, when we was at 1509, your SB11 worked just fine, correct?
Yes, it did. It did. My SB11.
When we was at Old South, you tried to use it at Old South, it wouldn't work.
Nope, wouldn't work. There was nothing come across, but it's, I go for the SB7 and the SB11 because they don't have that little chip embedded in their boards that has the database of words. And that, that's just that's what's kicking me on them is the database of words, because the words are not, I mean, one, you shouldn't even use it because of the database. Two, they could use a better list of words other than evil, demon,
right.
Satan.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Good God.
Yes.
That, too much. Just that brings too much. That brings me to another thing that I think I kind of touched on our chat about this. I gave Shane an idea for like an Ovilus 5, but not having the chip in it and it having a digital readout of words coming through. It's kind of like one of his devices, but instead of you having to hear it at real time, you can have a record of what has been said.
Yeah.
Right.
It's possible to be made.
Yeah. I like that. I like that in that Gage and Jill's equipment. They have equipment that records the words that are said and the records the questions that are asked. I don't know if they're on two separate things or not. I don't know if they have to mesh them together or what, but at least we have a recording of the words. And that's kind of why I bought the splitter for the headphones, is because we could have two people listening to the words and verify that, yes, that was a word that came through.
Right.
Or have somebody writing down the words that come through.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's different avenues you could take with that. You know, but it boils down to old-fashioned.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, old-fashioned investigation. Yeah.
You know, and research. Yeah. And
absolutely.
And I'm not, you know, totally against on all these devices or whatnot, you know, but it's just the fact that when you focus and you stay more focused on
the electronics. Yes, you miss everything.
You kind of just you're enthralled with that, and I get it, because when I first started out and all these gadgets were coming out, I was like, whoa, those are, I gotta have that or I gotta have that, and then I realized that it wasn't the path that I needed to be on. It wasn't something that I needed. I needed to kind of revert back to my gifts and use my gifts in a certain way where it was not just about the electronics. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some electronics that are really great, and Shane's electronics are really great.
Oh my God!
Anybody who doesn't know who Shane Feek is, and he is a genius when it comes to putting together
paranormal equipment
that is documented.
Documented
as being with zeros and ones. You know, with zeros and ones.
Just seeing the data that came out of this investigation, I mean, I realize that it's all numbers, but I know what I don't know exactly what those numbers meant, but he explained it very, very lightly for me, where the higher the number, the greater the touch. And you can see where things are happening on these sensors. And if we deployed them in a larger area, you could actually track the direction that the spirit was moving, how fast it was moving, and where it came from, where it's going.
Right. That's it's amazing. It's almost like making invisible footprints. You know, going from what room
that's to this room to that room. Oh my gosh, that's just exactly what it's like. Yeah, it's like
invisible footprints. You know what I mean? And you can on the computer, you can track that path and wonder and do that on different intervals of different days of the week or different months or years and see, and does that still follow the path or, oh yeah. I mean, there's so many different
things. Oh, there's that are so many things that are cool with that.
You know, right. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
that reminds me, I need to get a 5-pound bag of flour.
For people who don't know, the flower aspect is, you know, footprints and whatnot, and some paranormal investigators use that. I've seen some of them on YouTube and TikTok, and you got to take those.
Used to carry a bag with me.
A bag of what?
That was early on. A bag of flour.
Okay, flour.
One of those little tiny, bags that you get like Dollar Tree.
Did you ever get any evidence with it?
I never got to use it. It burned up in the fire. Yeah, I lost my first set of equipment in the fire. So there was a lot of cool stuff in that section, and I'm like, oh
yeah.
That name that I've got at one of the hotels, it's one of the stories in the book. That name was still in that bag. It was still in the case, the equipment case.
So Stevie, what area do you live at right now?
I live in Springfield, a little bit north of Nashville. About 30 minutes or so north of Nashville.
Okay, so is there a hotel that you really want to investigate in Nashville?
I haven't really heard of a hotel in Nashville, but I will say...
Within the vicinity, I should say.
I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. I know exactly what it is.
Since you said that, I think I have mentioned this to Gina at one point. I was working for Walmart. We was remodeling stores. And the hotel that I stayed in was in the Candlewood Suites. This was in Murfreesboro, right off of North Thompson Lane. And the funny thing is about this hotel, it is right across the street from part of Stones River Battlefield. And every morning, whenever I would get off from work, because I was on third shift, every morning when I get off from work and check, when I would go to my room, I was on the third floor, and that hallway always felt creepy.
Right.
Is there any particular reason why you asked me that, Jay?
No, I don't know. It just something came to my mind that something in Stevie in a hotel. You know, I mean, not in that way, but I mean, in a, you know,
right.
No, you know, in a paranormal sense. Shut up, Kelly.
I'm telling you this hotel felt creepy. I knew what you meant, Jay.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm sure there are so many different ways.
Yeah, I know you can. Yeah.
All of our listeners started laughing.
Yeah.
I laughed because I knew exactly what she was about to do.
You see, a lot of our Cemetery Files listeners would immediately know Kelly would start laughing as soon as I said that. So yeah.
We have
quite a few large followers in the Cemetery Files, and so they all like, oh no, Kelly's gonna start laughing.
Oh, no.
And I knew it.
If anybody can make it weird, it's me. Every
time. Yeah. And this was even before I even thought about being I had always wanted to be a paranormal investigator, but I never had the opportunity then to do it. But
every
morning that hallway felt weird. I always got the same room. So it was just a weird feeling in that hallway. I always felt I was being watched.
How far away do you live from that place?
45 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
42
minutes.
That would be
up the road from 1509. Mm-hmm. Or is it down the road from 15? No, it'd be up the road from 1509.
Well, you would backtrack away from 1509 back towards 840. And okay. Then North Thompson Lane is right there.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. Cool.
So,
yeah.
How old I know is where that place? Is. So, how old is that place?
It's not going to be the hotel. It's going to be the land. So, okay, that so, area got built up in the 90s, maybe?
I'd have okay. to yeah, look. maybe late 90s, early 2000s when that hotel yeah. was built. Right.
Yeah. So, it's not the hotel.
So, the land itself, and plus the fact of what you got close to that is mm-hmm. that's the bleed over mm-hmm. of all that energy. Right. So it would be, probably be a good idea to do a small investigation of just the surrounding area.
I got a great idea. Field trip to okay. Stones River Battlefield when the parks right. open.
Right. I know. Ooh. And that is basically your whole, you know, I mean, that's kind of what I'm seeing there is that, you know, getting some more information.
We should go down there earlier on Saturday and do.
I was just, Kelly, get out of my head, Kelly.
Field trip.
Get out of my head, Kelly. Because I was just sitting here thinking that on the 29th, when we go back to 1509, yeah. we should make a field trip over there early.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
So, Kelly, yeah. remember when we were talking yeah. about the soldier in your backyard?
Yes, Mr. Gardner.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mr. James Gardner.
How close would he have been to that battlefield?
Oh. Wouldn't have even touched it because he went. Yes. Yeah. How close he would have touched it. He never would have touched it. He went.
Okay.
West. From what I remember, he went west and he was captured in a battle that was in the, I'd have to pull out my notes. Hang on.
Okay.
Keep talking.
No, that's fine. You get her. You get her a little bit of a chore and then she's off like, yeah,
she gets a task.
I mean, to be honest,
I became pretty good friends with the manager of that hotel.
Oh, nice!
So,
really,
because every time when I would go in to check in, he would know me by name, and he like, "You want your same room?" I was like, "Yeah, if it's possible." He's like, "Yeah, it's possible." So,
Maybe it would be a good idea to, you know, kind of talk to him and see if there's something that maybe an investigation would be, you know what I mean? Would be possible. So, you see, Kelly, the reason why I say that, because when we were talking about Gardner and the Civil War and all stuff, and we were talking about
a great name, the by land, the way.
I know, and the land, and we're talking about the hotel and all this stuff, and knowing that all that land around there is super charged, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Is very charged. So it wouldn't surprise me if there was some type of connection that you could find to that.
It's not going to be with my guy. It's going to be with somebody else. He went someplace else. I can't have my notes on where he was captured, but he was captured at one point, and I want to say it was in the west side, and it was west of here. So he never went south because Nashville's south of me.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And I think that he probably went from Truesdale to that other battlefield, and I'll have to, because Truesdale was and I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Truesdale was, yeah, Trousdale. There you go. Like a trout. Okay, got it. Trousdale was a training camp. So it would have been where people came after they got inscripted.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you see him at Trousdale?
No, he's in my backyard.
Yeah, he's.
Okay. Yeah.
So, to give you a little bit of background on it, Jay and I were having one of our usual Monday morning phone calls, and I said, "Oh, my soldier's out in the backyard." And he's going, what? And I'm like, now let me take some pictures and send them to you. So I took pictures of the areas that I see my soldier in. And I sent them to Jay. And Jay sent them back to me with all the areas circled. And they were exactly the areas that I see my soldier. And Jay came up with a name. And the name matched with a person that was at Trousdale. And I was able to get some history on him, and we're wondering if he was a messenger from Trousdale, which is less than 4 miles from my house, and the command center is at the end of my street. Mm-hmm. So he wow. would have had what he did is he followed the railroad track up and then cut up into my yard. And then mm-hmm. made his way down to the commander station, the fort. Well, I guess right. it was a fort
right.
someplace
right.
down there.
Right. Now tell everybody all the information that I came up with that you confirmed.
Well, sure. we confirmed that there was a James Gardner that was stationed at Trousdale. And then I confirmed, he did survive the war. He went on to some really great things, as well as his sons did magnificent.
I kept seeing agriculture all day long.
All day long, ag was there, ag. And it ends up, he was very, very instrumental in getting agricultural regulations down pat.
Wow.
It was amazing what had happened. And this isn't the first time that Jay's done this to me. The second time was with Lincoln's train. We were actually investigating he was called in as the medium for an investigation. I was researching what he came up with, and I kept seeing a train. I kept seeing mm-hmm. a man sitting on a train, and Jay says, it's Lincoln's train. I'm like, oh, you're crazy. And then I'm like, huh, it is Illinois.
Right. Maybe. Right. So, and I sent you that picture.
You sent me the picture, and then I went and I found that Lincoln's train had passed behind this property. And that might have been where Jay was getting the additional energy mm-hmm. from the train. So mm-hmm. it was just
that awesome. Was crazy.
It was crazy. Crazy.
I love connecting with that back.
But that's the fun of. I mean, you're a medium as well, Gina, and that's the fun of what we do.
It is
the paranormal goes hand in hand with history. And when the mediums can go, oh yeah, there's a person that's this and this and this, and you actually find that and that and that in history.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And yeah.
Right.
For you, drawing the pictures.
Yeah. Right. The pictures is what I get. They don't tell me what they want and who they are and all of that. So I haven't been able to connect that much now.
Right. Gina, you can also probably do automatic writing.
If you can do
spiritual artwork, then you should be able to do automatic writing. There's a book that you could find online, and it's about a lady called Patience Worth. Worth. She has a great. There's a great story of Patience Worth and being an automatic writer. And
I'm fascinated with people that can do that. I've never even thought about that.
That's one thing that I haven't really stepped my toes into. I think mm-hmm. I possibly could. I possibly couldn't. But from what my guides say, that I probably
need to do it.
Yeah, I need, they, I need. That's to do basically it. What I get.
Yeah. Kelly, getting back to your soldier. Yeah. So those rail lines that you have close to your house that mm-hmm. you see.
Oh, they're not close to my house. They're my backyard.
Okay. So those rail lines probably are the rail lines that run right there at
This set of rail lines was in place when the Civil War came. I verified
he could have some ties to the Battle at Stones River.
That's what I'm saying.
But
if there's a railroad, wait.
I gotta stop y'all because I looked at his service record, and he didn't go to Nashville.
Right, but it's not always documented. Sometimes some of these soldiers went to different places, and not everything was documented. They can't always, especially if you're in the throes of a war, especially with the South, and compared to the Union soldiers, which was, mm-hmm. and not to pick sides because I have ancestors on both.
Me as well.
But the organization skills for the Union kind of outshadowed some of the Southern.
Now I'm going to have to debate you on that one because I've seen records that were just impeccable here in the South.
Right. In the immediate area in some of the bigger cities, yes, because of the fact that mm-hmm. they had a lot of people that were of stature.
I don't have to agree with that because it's hard to find stuff in Tennessee.
Right. Right. Because of the fact that back then, what was Tennessee but a lot of farmers and a lot of smaller towns like you live in now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when they were looking for soldiers, they were basically
Gina lives in Charlotte, which is how big is that city?
God, I don't even know.
A couple of miles, maybe.
Yeah.
A couple of thousand people over there?
For Charlotte itself, I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up. I know Dixon County, our county, has 54 or 40.
That's the size of Eugene when I moved to Oregon.
Yeah. And that's
and that's county. An entire county.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's, I don't even remember how many towns that encompasses, too. Like smaller, more rural.
Yeah.
Towns.
Right. So, talking about Gardner, not saying that it would make more sense if the tracks were there and if somehow he had a connection. Whatever connection it was, I don't know. I mean, it's still, but I think that because of the connecting railroad and all that stuff, I think it's a possibility.
I really need to go out there with the voice recorder when he comes back next time, when I see him out there again. I really need to go out there with a voice recorder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You really Every do. Time he's I out mean, there, I though, just... it's like raining or stupidly hot.
Right. Well, it's stupidly hot. That's the best time of day is when it's 95 degrees outside. Oh, yeah.
I wonder when actually that battle happened.
What battle?
Battle of Stones River.
Oh, that's easy. That's documented. Hang on. I need glasses to see.
I mean, like, if it was hot or if it was a rainy day or, to that effect.
And is that why he only shows up on those days?
No, I think he shows up on the days that he was delivering messages to the command center. I think he was a messenger.
And that's pretty plausible that, he could have been a messenger. So therefore, if he was a messenger, he could have had some sort of dealings with Stones River by delivering messages.
Could be. It could be in that sense.
December 31st, 1862 is when Stones River happened.
So that was wintertime. That wasn't. Okay.
Right. So yeah, I'd be curious to find out a little bit more information that isn't really documented, but maybe, you could find stuff on different books. Like some people do stories on, certain battlefields or certain outfits of what they did and this and that. Yeah, I'm sure you will.
So
that's why I love the Civil War. I love the Civil War time because of the history behind it. Number one. And I hate to say it like this, but the amount of bloodshed, death,
right,
that was caused by it makes it a very, very,
very, strong time. Yeah. And I totally get it too. I have ties with both sides of, I have Confederate soldiers. I had a captain who was in the Confederacy who was a great uncle of mine. And his last name was O'Dooley. So he's credited somewhere, something to do with taking prisoners to a camp or something. I don't remember. I have to look at it, but it was years ago when I found it. So I have that tie to that Civil War, and there's something about Gettysburg and even the battle and all the emotions with it and all, you know, even the politics behind it. You know, I mean, it was just that you couldn't write a better movie about the Civil War than to have it actually happen. You know what I mean? I mean, if right. there's yeah. so many different, oh, yeah. so many different books and so many different movies and so many, you know, it's just been, you know, I'm not saying that all the movies that are made about it are, you know, plausible or halfway decent, but there's a few. You know,
the best one that I've seen about that is a movie called Gettysburg.
Yeah, that one's really good.
Martin Sheen.
That's listed as one of the top 10. That's listed as one of the top 10 movies.
You know what's a really good? You know what's a really good one as well is that one with Matthew McConaughey. Free State, I think it's called.
Ooh, I remember that one.
I ain't never seen that one. Another good one is called Glory, the one with Matthew Broderick and Carrie Elwes.
Yeah, and then when they were talking about the Buffalo Soldiers, you know, I mean, and that was a real eye opener too. You know what I mean? And so,
I mean, the Stones River battlefield started, the Stones River battle started over a year after the regiments that this guy, that my guy was in. So it was a year later after he'd been drummed into some of these, artillery battalions, whatever they're called. I don't know. I'm not a military person, so I can't tell you what that is, but it's like a year after everything that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I seriously doubt if he was in Stones River.
Okay.
If he is, I would be shocked.
If you find it, if you don't, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, but because of the fact that all the energy around, even in around your area and Stones River, all that stuff, and it's like I said, the energy and is the land is so charged, and it's just there's just so much. But it's like picking out stories, picking out needles in a haystack. You know what I mean? There's so many different stories and different things that people have talked about and not written about, and that's part of what the Cemetery Files is. We're trying to find out the story, the truth of the history of people who have passed and this and that, so that we could tell stories that were untold. You know what I mean? So that's why me and Kelly try to, you know, find all that information, and we try to piece it together, and, you know, and I think
honestly, I've got to say that all the people that are on my crew at K2 Paranormal Research share my desire to connect the paranormal with history. Everybody is constantly looking at history. When we go into a location, they're constantly looking at where this could have been coming from. And we don't instantly say it's paranormal until we can verify it, until there's nothing else left.
Right.
If Jim says it's not possible, it's not possible.
Kelly, I got an idea we should do.
What's that?
There's two states that are probably the two bloodiest states when it came to the Civil War. The first one is Virginia.
Yeah.
And the second one would be Pennsylvania.
OK. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is going to take, you know, time and effort, but I think we would be very surprised and joyful about what we could uncover.
Oh, yeah.
Touring all of these battle sites between those two states.
Yeah.
And trying to create something.
That would be such a huge undertaking, which would be fun.
Right. Okay. So, having said that, what was my drive for the end of my work season or towards the work? What am I trying to do that I'm trying to raise funds for?
Oh, dude. your epic adventure is something that's in the back of my head constantly trying to figure out how to make that work, because you could literally set a trail from here to the East Coast, come back, and we can go to the West Coast, and the amount of history that we could connect with paranormal activity is just limitless.
Right.
And if we could ever find somebody that could fund this, and I don't know how much it would take, I think right now we have pretty much everybody we could possibly want on this project. They're known to us at this point. And I think it would be great if we could find somebody who could fund this project, because that would be a dream of mine. Another dream would be just to take the Oregon Trail and come back on that one and try to find all the paranormal activity that's on that Oregon Trail.
And on top of that,
I don't have enough time in my life to do this.
I know. And on top of that, though, it's also my trip to Gettysburg. Remember?
Yeah.
When he's talking about,
I really wanted to do Gettysburg this year, but it's just not going to work out to do Gettysburg this
year. So that's why another reason why I'm trying to raise money for that, for me and my camera guy, to do that in August. I think it's August or October, and to do a documentary on that. You know what I mean?
I would love to go to Gettysburg.
Right. So if I could, if it's possible that I could get the funding and get everything squared away for 2 to 3 days, you know, or something like that, that you know, we can have K2 Paranormal be part of that, is what I'm saying.
Well, that's what we originally had thought, is that K2 Paranormal would be carrying the paranormal stick on that whole venture.
Right.
And we would take at that point when we first started talking about this, we did not have everybody that we have right now. And I know that a lot of my crew cannot travel easily, but I know, hold on a second, Stevie, can you go? Stevie, can you go?
Can I go where?
Oh my God. You're supposed to go. Yeah, I'm there.
You already know the answer to that one, Kelly. You already know.
Well, I was giving you the open.
If it involves Gettysburg, I am in.
That is my dream place. You're in.
Exactly. I mean, it involves ghosts.
If it involves ghosts, you're in. I'm surprised you haven't sold all your fishing equipment yet.
Right.
I mean, that's in that might be in the works. I sold two of my rods. I sold two of my rods a couple of months ago.
There you go. Oh, good Lord.
I mean, right now, you're sitting on a crew of, I think probably we've got, I think I counted it up and we had like 8 really reactive person people.
Okay.
So
that would be the about 8 to 10 people would be on this trip.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be sufficient enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's we could definitely handle it.
Yeah. We could definitely handle it.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
And I believe that the ones that we have on our crew now would all be like like putting a battery, putting batteries in a location.
Oh, absolutely. Just out of the sim department? Oh my God.
Yeah. 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 Oh yeah. You have to overtime.
What's that, G?
I said we'll be working overtime.
Oh hell yeah, you will. Yeah.
So Kelly, for all our listeners on the Cemetery Files, you know, Kelly coined this acronym.
Oh, yeah.
For the K2 Paranormal Research Team, which is
SIM, S-I-M, and it stands for Sensitives, Intuitives, and Mediums. Because I didn't want to keep writing that all out, so I just wrote SIM, and it's like, oh wait a second, this makes sense. And, our SIM department is so widely varied. I mean, we've got 4 different people or more and every single person has a different talent, has a different gift.
Their talent.
And well, talent, gift, whichever you want to look at it, gift. And it's just amazing to watch them all work. It's so beautiful. Because
and who's the manager of SIM?
Together, that would be you, Mr. J. Yeah. Well, you're not the manager; you're the mentor.
Mentor, that's right.
The mentor, right. Yeah.
I
reluctantly accept the title of leader. I would rather not be, but I am. So,
yeah.
But yeah, but dude, I mean,
that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's the good thing about you, Kelly. You're doing a leadership role, but yet you're letting us do our own shine. You're letting us shine
right,
our own.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's
well,
the
whole
is.
Thing
that's
it boils down to I won't be here eventually. And I want to have set up underneath of me people that can run and do what they want to do and do what they love with a good foundation that I leave them with. So,
right. And that's one of the reasons why me and Kelly do the Cemetery Files. And we decided early on 50-50.
Yeah,
we're
50-50.
We're, you know, nobody is a host and somebody's a co-host. We're both hosts. You know, everything we make a decision, it's 50. It's straight across the
board.
And
it's the same thing with my crew is when we go out, everything, it's all an input. Everybody gets an input. Everybody gets to help decide what we're doing. I can sit there and try to plan out an investigation, but sure as shit, Stevie's gonna come up with something. No.
Right. So as far as this trip,
if you haven't figured it out yet, I love giving Stevie shit.
Yeah, no problem.
So, you know, speaking of this documentary, this trip that I am looking for donations for this trip to be able to make this documentary on Gettysburg, telling the
donations. We're looking for funding.
Yeah, funding, donations, funding, but
donations. Screw find the donation thing. We're looking for funding.
But basically just kind of, you know, finish that statement. It's just, you know, we want to be able to find the hidden truth on things that weren't discovered, you know, to get people a voice and give them, you know, that some type of closure in some of that stuff. Even if these people have been passed, you know, for years, you could still get that closure. So, you know, that's why we're looking for that funding. And
well,
anybody out there that listens to this, if you have a way to fund us and to get this documentary out, and I'll be able to put this documentary on TV somewhere. And I know that for a fact.
We know
and
enough so people.
We know enough people that we could probably get this on a network somewhere.
The thing that I love about the Cemetery Files is that we help bring everybody's stories out and retell those stories. Because the whole premise is that as long as you are remembered, you are still alive.
Right, exactly.
As long as there's somebody who remembers you, you're still alive. And I love telling stories of people who have passed and getting their stories back out there.
Right. And it's true. I mean, that there's so many different stories to be told, and there's loved ones that we've missed, you know, that have passed, and we still tell their stories on every other day on different people that we've mm-hmm. known or whatnot.
Yeah.
And it's part of those stories that basically, you know, ignite that flame for that memory again, you know, and it's keeping people's memories and their lives, you know, alive in a state where people can appreciate that story, you know. And it's just one thing that we didn't want to start the Cemetery Files just to do a show. We had a purpose behind it. We wanted to be able to tell the stories of the people who have died. We want to be able to tell the hidden stories, the stories that nobody talked about, the things that people are afraid to talk about. You know, we wanted to the forefront because we wanted to be able to clear the air.
And the things that people don't know. I mean, who knew that Lincoln's train went behind this one property? You know?
Right. Yeah.
And it's the energy that was on that train, and the fact that I've got, I mean, the Stevie and Gina are just two people that are on my crew, and I can't tell you how happy I am that I have a whole group of people that want to help tell stories.
Right.
And it's just it's just a big blessing.
Right.
All over.
So let me piggyback on that story, Kelly. When I ordered that sweet box of mine, it came to my mom's house, and whenever I took it out of the box, my mom asked what it was. See, my mom didn't believe in the paranormal. She says that I shouldn't do it and everything. So I turned that sweet box on, and the love of my mom's life died about 13 years ago. My stepdad, the closest thing to my real dad. And I've got a really good relationship with my real father. He was right there with my real dad. I love that man just like I did my dad.
Yeah.
So I turned that box on, and I was showing Mama what it does. And the first words that came out of that box was, "Hi, Rabbit." He always called my mom Bunny Rabbit.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that something?
And my mom looked at me, and I looked at her. I said, "You heard that, didn't you?" And she goes, "Yeah, I did." I go, "Well, obviously, he is still here with you. That's what this piece of equipment does. You can communicate with him. So if there's anything you want to say to him, go ahead and say it to him." And she goes, "Hi, Frank. How are you doing?" And he goes, "I'm good."
Wow.
And she just looked at me, and I said, "Is there anything else you want to tell him?" And she goes, "I miss you." And two syllables, "Miss you."
Oh,
came through that box. And she
that means he's there all the time. He's there very strong.
And her mouth just hit the floor, and she goes, "I love you." And he, in two more syllables, "Love you."
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And I looked at Mom, and I said, "Mom, that's why I did it." And she had tears coming out of her eyes.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There are some things that people just don't realize. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody can tell me that this is all fake, but it's stuff like that really, really make you think. That's just lovely that he's there as strong as he is.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got my house where spirits just walk through.
You have a way station.
Whatever's going on at your house, G.
My place is. I keep hearing stuff over here now. I'm hearing the clicking again.
But, oh, there was a hell of a bang in there was it Saturday?
Oh yeah.
No, it was Friday night. Friday night.
Yeah, it was the night you got here. Yeah. We could just be sitting here and I can tell that, and he can now tell the difference because my refrigerator does pop.
Mm-hmm. It's the compressor kicking on.
Right.
Yeah.
But this is totally different from that.
Yeah. It's like the whistle at 1509.
Yeah. And we've started hearing voices now, female voice. And I, Friday night, wasn't it? Friday or Saturday, not a shadow, a full bodied person walked in my bathroom.
Maybe he had to pee.
I'm not in at your house ever again.
Yes, you are. But yeah, it's just, it's really, sometimes it's just, it's pretty active in here. And I'm just like,
look at her. She's got her K2 paranormal t-shirt on. Oh my God, I love you.
Hey, you said we was repping the team. So here I am.
That's right. I remember that.
That was video.
Hey, Jay, watch this. I'm still waiting on mine.
I know. I put that out in chat on the Discord page or on the Discord channel. Yeah. I gotta wait for the payout from the trust.
No, it's really weird here though, Kel. It's getting more.
Wow.
Yeah. But now you talk about my small town. This is the which is really weird. This is the county seat for my county, for Dixon County. And the old courthouse is down the road from me. Like I could walk there. The old jail is down here. There's cemeteries all over the place.
Who's honeymoon?
And the square up here, I have a friend that lives on the square, and she said that just about every house there, everybody that lives there has some sort of activity going on. So wow. I'm right
Tennessee
in the middle of it. I don't know what this
with.
Is.
I mean, there's something.
I get randos, though. It's like, hey, how you doing? Bye. So I don't know.
And Tennessee is right in the middle of the Bible Belt, so a lot of people don't. Tennessee, it's hard to get in locations here because people want to turn their nose to it.
It's some of the things that you have to work through when you're a paranormal investigator. Not everybody believes what we believe, and not everybody's going to let us have our fun. So
no. Right.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm happy and grateful for all the people that let us have our fun.
Right. You get certain people, like certain TV stars, that want to scream out one word right out of the gate, and it just gives everybody a bad name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, well, folks, it's been an hour, so we're going to wrap it up. Yep. So
I hold on before you even start doing your wrap up. I'm going to do my wrap up. I would like to thank everybody at K2 Paranormal Research for one, just being there, and two, for everybody who made the time to come on. Gina and Stevie are staples in our crew. You can always depend on Gina and Stevie to do stuff for us. So yeah, without them, just.
I'm blessed.
Kim was here too. She was planned to be on, but unfortunately her father-in-law was taken to the hospital, so we're praying and hoping that everything's okay with that. So and then Jim got he had to work overtime, so he couldn't come on. Otherwise you would have gotten to meet the great and infallible skeptic.
I'm waiting for Brushy Mountain. I hope he gets an experience.
Yep. Brushy's going to be great.
That'll be great for him.
Yeah. So, everybody,
now
I want
to
thank
your turn to wrap up.
Thanks to everybody for listening. Going back to the foundation of, the funding and to build that foundation for this documentary for Gettysburg. If you feel free or feel led to donate or fund or anything like that, you can contact spiritual realms 0101@gmail.com. You can find us on the Cemetery Files on every media platform, Instagram and Facebook. So yeah, send us a message, whatnot, if you would like to fund this project. Yeah.
And if you're interested in having either an investigation of your home, your location, your business, whatever, feel free to contact K2 Paranormal Research on Facebook or Instagram or our website, K2PN.com.
Right. So we want to thank everybody. And on that note, see ya.
Bye.
This show is brought to you in part by Studio 6 Media Productions.